Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Did you bring wine?
I got the glasses.
You guys, I made a quiz.
No, I didn't bring anything, but I'm here to have fun.
Hello, and welcome to the official Broadwasted podcast, where we're drunk on theater. I'm your host, Brian Plofsky, and the legacy of 5-0s is that we're stranded again. Let's saddle up the horses together and never say, this is the day. Sign, Lily, sign and repent, because you've got it all.
Okay.
She's a nut, but life is like a train. Mine, I've got it all. Joining us today are the usual Veronique Sextet usuals who rise again on the 20th century.
I was going to say, there's not very many people who know what you just did there.
Yes.
There's lyrics from the musical on the 20th century?
They were all the song titles.
Song titles.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Woven them together.
I had that CD as a kid.
Uh-huh.
And I don't even remember, I didn't even click any of that. And I remember I listened to it. It was Madeline Kahn. John Cullum, mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, that's the
Kevin
original.
Kevin Kline, maybe?
I think that's the original.
Okay. Yeah, that's totally the original.
Yeah.
Because they just recently did a revival a few years ago with Kristen Chenoweth and Peter Gallagher.
Peter Gallagher,
Okay.
And Andy Carl was in that.
Yes, I think. Yeah.
He was like the...
The 20th century. Kevin, I have written a play, Jaeger.
Oh, I have. That's a good one.
Yeah. Kimberly, our private world game master and unofficial babysitter for the hour.
I don't know this show at all.
That is a song.
Oh, it's a real gas.
Yeah. And with us today is someone you've seen somewhere at some point on TV in Happy Endings, Drunk History, Bob's Burgers, or you heard him there, How I Met Your Mother, Kroll Show, or Heathers, among a ton of others. He writes for Netflix's AJ and the Queen, but you've definitely seen his Chloe Sevigny videos. Let's give a big Broadwasted welcome to friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Drew Drogi.
Hi.
You're ready for this?
We just talked about that. I'm so mad.
It's fine. I know. Also, I never correct people, but it's Drogi. But
Drew Drogi. You remember this?
We literally had
a 20-minute conversation about it.
It wasn't 20 minutes, but we did have a conversation.
Yeah.
It's better than Droge. That's the one I really hate. And people go, Drew Droge. I just sound horrible, just like some sad, like, you know, cocooned, you know, creature or something. So I don't mind Drogi. I don't mind a soft G. You know,
I'm going to say that Dina from now on, cocooned creature.
Yeah.
You can follow him on social media at his name. Kevin, would you mind saying it?
Drew Drogi.
Great. But we always start with, what are you drinking?
What are you drinking?
What are we drinking? Almost all the same.
Well, I'm going to blame the Tanteo on the name mishap.
Yeah, totally, for sure.
Because it smells so bad and weird.
No, it's delicious jalapeno tequila.
I walked in and it is all I could smell in this room.
Really?
Oh, really? I don't smell it.
I mean, I did put it on as Cologne.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So it smelled nice.
Kevin, we all know it's Cologne.
I am drinking the Hudson Maple Cask Rye Whiskey.
Me too.
Same.
It is delicious, and we talk every week about why we love it, and keep making it Hudson, and keep sending it our way.
Brian, do you want to feel better about pronouncing things?
Sure.
A girl on The Bachelor recently, they were, got like presents or something before a date, and she got some lingerie, and she had clearly never said that word out loud, and she said, well, she got some really cute lingerie sets.
Oh no. That was literally a joke on In Living Color, like Jamie Foxx's character. Was it Wanda? Was that his like really like hideous woman that he played on there?
I don't know.
And I remember her talking about her lingerie. It was literally a joke. And there are people that don't know how to say lingerie.
Yes.
On The Amazing Race, they went to Kyiv, Ukraine.
No.
Oh, no, Kyiv.
Oh, yeah.
No. Oh, my God. I love Chicken Kyiv.
Helen.
I know, the best.
That's like what people drunk call me. They're like, Kyiv.
Kyiv Jaeger.
Kyiv Jaeger.
Well, thanks so much for joining us. You are currently at the Soho Playhouse.
Yes.
Doing Happy Birthday Doug.
Doug. Yes. Yeah. It's Happy Birthday Doug.
Yes. Happy Birthday Doug.
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about that. It's kind of a, you kind of go into what it is.
Oh, sure. It's a sort of a birthday party from hell. I'm playing 9 different gay men at the party.
Mm-hmm.
8 of which are talking to Doug, and it's his birthday, obviously, and you get to meet Doug at the end of the show. So it's just, it's like those moments you get with each person, like one-on-one, usually. I'd also play a couple, so there's one scene where I go back and forth in a couple, but...
Oh, like a David Hasselhoff, like Jekyll and Hyde moment?
Oh, completely.
Yes.
Oh, totally. The thing that I always like, there's so much in like solo shows, and I just remember like all forever being like swearing I would never do a solo show. And just there's so many things you're like switching back and forth in characters. I was like, I'm never going to do that. And it's like so much fun to do. And it's also kind of, there is something a little tongue-in-cheek about doing it too, because it's just like you've seen... You know, so many, I don't know. I've just seen so many versions of the people doing
that. Are there hats?
No, there are no hats. But I have seen the ones where they switch a hat, they switch a hat back, switch a hat, switch it back, you know. No, it's none of that. But, no, it's just like those moments you get, like, caught at the party, when it's your own party. And so it's sort of written, like, I used to, younger days have, like, over 100 people at my birthday parties. And I don't know why I thought I got points for that.
Mm.
But I invited everyone, even people I didn't like.
Sure.
And they were exhausting experiences. And then I also realized it's like you're at the... When you're at the center of attention, how insane that is. And how people's, like, insecurities come out. And I also just want to explore modern gay culture and, like, how gay people talk to each other and how we interact with each other and how we can be each other's best friends or our worst enemies and all of that in between. So, and I get to play a lot of different kinds of, you know, shapes and sizes and ages of gay men, too.
Sure.
So that's fun. Because I'm kind of known for playing nightmare, horrible people, which I love. And that's kind of prefer doing.
What a good MO.
But I'm happy to do it every time.
I'm here to play your resident nightmare, horrible human.
Yeah, oh my God. Anytime anybody says, I wrote a part for you, I'm like, oh, I hope it's terrible. But it's fun in the show because I get to play different levels. And you know, I play like an older queen who I think is really, you know, lovely. And he's not at all like, you know, nasty like the rest of them really are. But it's very therapeutic for me to get to go through every night. And I feel like for people to sort of see, you know, aspects of themselves. I still don't feel like we have represented ourselves enough and very correctly sometimes. I feel like we have, when you do have the one gay character in something, it's kind of limited as to what that looks like.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like it's just fun to get just kind of say, here are 9, not all 9 types, but these are just for example, you know.
What, I guess in the vein of that, kind of moving to the next step, what do you want people to walk out of? Not the show. What do you want them to walk out with?
A with. Yeah. I think we're leaving. If they don't leave, I keep talking until they go. Some nights it's a long night. Yeah. Some nights it's 10 minutes long.
This episode is brought to you by Tanteo.
I don't know. I mean, that's such a great question. I feel like I always love when people say they saw themselves or they recognize people that they know in it. When they look and they go, oh my God, is that me? Oh my God, that's so me. Or is that my friend or whatever. And also to feel okay. I feel like I very much like had, I don't know, as I was writing this, and I didn't really understand what I was writing when I was doing it.
Sure.
But then I realized that the show is really about like holding on to the people that matter and letting go the people who don't. And sort of letting them go with love. And it's fun to be bitchy and sort of like, you know, sort of lampoon the people that we don't like. But also realizing like you really need your friends. And it's more a show about friendship than... my last show, Bright Colors and Bold Patterns, was about a gay marriage. And it was more about a single guy sort of coping in the gay world with that. And this one, I mean, This guy is also single, but not in the same... but not in the same headspace.
I'm sorry, Duke.
Duke, right, exactly. Right. We're going to have an impossible time finding the show. Like, what is the show called? I feel like it's not... It's less about that, and it's more about friendship, the show sure. is.
That's great.
Yeah.
Talk a little about your writing process. Mm. You have a very heavy background in improv. Are you someone who sits down and writes? Are you someone who acts it out and kind of notates as you go? Well, what's your process, especially when you're doing a one-man show?
Yeah, a little bit of both, because I came up through the Groundlings in LA, and that was where, and Groundlings is all about characters and like writing original characters with the distinct points of view. And so I taught there forever. And so it's naturally kind of where I go to first before I think concept, before I think like plot or what's this all about. Mm-hmm. So I just started writing these characters. Yeah. I mean, they were people I started writing first, and then I started to figure out like where to put them and what like sort of to do. But I sit at my laptop and I sort of write that way. And then I get up in my apartment and just start acting it out. And then things come out of me just cause I am an improviser and performer, mm-hmm. and there were things that'll just come out. Or I'll find a behavior and I'll go, oh, that's fun for that person. And so I'll sort of add that
fun.
When do you feel it in your gut to kind of end that draft? In terms of, because you could probably improv forever, you can go on forever.
Oh, sure, sure.
What's an internal or external cutoff that helps you to realize, cool, this is stopping point, time to look back and then move. What is that process like?
A lot of it is like when I work with a director. I mean, Tom DeTrenis directed this show and he was really great at sort of helping shape like, okay, I think we're done here. Because a lot of it I could keep going. I mean, you can kind of keep going the whole thing. And then also it's just sort of like, you know, as you're writing, you get the fun information out about the character. And then you're like, at a certain point, you're like, all right, I think we got to find out why they're here, what they want. Do they get it or do they not? All those kind of basic rules.
Yeah, yeah.
And then get out, like leave us wanting more. Mm-hmm. And it is always fun for me when the people see the show and they're like, oh, I wanted more of such and such character. Because you just get like a flavor for it. And,
sure.
And I think too, just naturally, like used to, in working with Groundlings, like you sort of, you just get used to the length inherently of how a monologue needs to be, and then you kind of feel like it needs to kind of be over. So,
yeah.
And you sort of a lot of times you end it where you begin, if you know, or you kind of go, oh, there's a fun blackout there, or whatever.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, before we segue into other writings that you've done, let's play a game.
Yeah.
Ooh, wonderful. Okay. Guess what?
What? What?
You have to write a little bit.
Oh, okay.
This game
do you
is
hate
called.
Writing?
No, we love it.
Oh, okay, no, they're both writers.
Oh, okay.
And I'm not, so I just make them do it a lot.
Oh, great! I love it.
This game is called Happy Holidays, You.
Okay.
Okay.
In which you're going to pick a Lights of Broadway show card.
Okay.
That is someone that you're casting in a one-person show.
Great.
Oh, okay.
Then you have a holiday on one slip of paper.
Okay.
And a name on another slip of paper.
Okay.
And so, like, happy birthday, Doug.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You're going to create something like the happy St. Patrick's Day, Beth.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
For so-and-so.
Oh, okay. Okay, great. Okay, perfect.
Kevin, will you go first?
Sure.
You're my ace.
I think I understand.
I believe in you. I don't believe in me right now, so this rests on your shoulders.
Okay, I got this.
All right. Kevin is picking, and
oh, so there might be a different gender from...
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh.
That's
I didn't really
very
think
confusing.
That
That's very upsetting. I need to leave. I don't feel seen or understood.
Okay, so I have Happy National Donut Day, Beth.
Oh,
wow.
Right.
Great.
And it stars Celia Keenan-Bolger.
Oh, well, there you go.
So this would be a one-woman show where it's National Donut Day, and Beth is entering into a contest to make a donut, like the best donut, and compete in like her like county fair.
Sure.
Okay.
But the entire play is her like mistakes and mess-ups that like make a terrible donut, so she keeps starting over. And trying to rush and see if she can make the best donut.
Mm-hmm.
And so then, like, the end of the show is her, like, hearing the timer go off on, like, the... I don't know, what do you make donuts with? Like, fryer?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Rotator. Fryer.
I was like, come on, they don't make donuts on Great British Baking Show, so I don't know.
They have
what? Have they really? I need to find
yeah, they
that.
Use that mini fryer
yeah.
that they have on the tables.
Okay,
the
then
end?
Yes,
yeah,
they
yeah,
use
yeah.
fryers. Mm-hmm. So, like, she hears, like, the fryer buzzer go off. Do they have those? They
yeah,
do
yeah,
know.
Sure. And you can say your own buzzer.
And she's
yeah.
like, let's
yeah.
see if this is a good donut. And she, like, goes to find out. because it's her last chance, and then the lights go up, so you don't know.
Oh, wow.
So that would be like the thing like that everyone would go home with. Yeah. Beth. Like, Beth, did you make a good donut or not?
Hopefully there are no plot holes.
But see, the place.
Is there anybody else that works there with her, or just it's just her, it's like, just freaking out?
Just her the whole time freaking out.
Okay, great.
Okay.
And who is the audience? The audience are just people watching? Like, does she talk? She obviously has to talk
like
to them.
It's like the people that are, like, she's trying to run the shop that she runs while so there are people who are like coming into the store.
So the audience are like, hello, they're the customers essentially. Okay, great.
That's delightful.
So that's great. Yeah, that's happening. National Donut Day, great. Beth and Celia Keenan Bulger will win a Golden Globe.
Oh, wow.
New category.
New category. Wow.
Interesting.
I was like,
what's
a safe award to win? I was like, a Golden Globe.
For live theater. Yeah. Tried and true.
All right. I'm going to pull. All right, I have Happy 4th of July Dennis, starring Alex Brightman.
Okay.
Basically what this is there is the host of this 4th of July barbecue. His name is Dennis.
Okay.
But we never meet him. The audience is Dennis. Brightman plays all the characters showing up to Dennis, the audience's 4th of July barbecue. And they all have very specific relationships with Dennis. So this is basically kind of, they're all neighbors too. This is not like his friends. It's like he's throwing
like the
neighbor.
Block, like
the cul-de-sac situation.
So
totally.
Everything from like the kid down the street to the old man who won't sell his house and like lets his weeds grow and like everyone shows up to this party.
Yep.
And it's called Happy 4th of July Dennis.
I love it.
Yes.
Does the audience realize they're Dennis?
Yes, it's not as...
Because, like, they're being spoken to as if they're Dennis.
Yes, and when you go in, they all get a hello, my name is Dennis.
Oh.
That's
or great. Denise.
Well, that's good. That's nice to hear.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Now, and then, does Alex have a bunch of wigs and hats on stage, or does he do it all, like, just
Yeah, how's
raw?
He changing characters?
Sure, he has, it's a, shoes.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
I hope they have to be fully laced up every time.
Yes, it's all
okay,
shoes.
Great.
Yes.
Oh, my
so
God.
A lot of
so
time.
Is the tagline, show your shoes.
Show us your shoes.
Show us your shoes.
Yes.
That happens
it's a giant wall of shoes.
Shoes. Yeah.
Oh, I love
absolutely.
It.
Oh, my God, shoes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God,
you
yes.
Know, you know, you'd think it was chairs, but it's not. It's shoes.
It's shoes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Really interesting.
You think it was chairs?
John Doyle.
John Doyle. It's directed by John Doyle. Yeah.
Right, right.
I see.
Yeah.
I was like,
I love that I hear chairs and immediately know your joke is John Doyle.
Yeah.
Oh my God, my friend's senior thesis revolutionary
idea.
Chairs.
Chairs.
The play.
Oh, the
ENS
play. Play. Sure,
and
sure.
So anytime someone says chairs, I just think, more people, more chairs.
Well, wow. Actually, it was
a play, but it's like the two old people, right? And they're just moving chairs around.
Yes.
I've
and
actually
so
never seen that.
It was my friend's senior thesis in college. And so the entire senior year, he was just collecting chairs from people to use as part of the set.
Oh,
what show is this?
Chairs.
The Ionesco. The
Ionesco.
Well, he was...
They keep adding chairs on and on and on, right?
Yes, they keep bringing chairs, and like they're like, more people are coming, more chairs, more people, more chairs, and then their guests never come.
Well, John Doyle was supposed to direct...
Chairs?
The Chairs show, and then they fired him and like, let's do the Chairs show.
Oh, we did the Cher show. Okay. Wait, I'm sorry. I don't know
who
John
Doyle
was.
No,
that was a bad joke.
That
okay.
was
your
bad
turn.
Joke.
Did he do the
Cher
show?
Cher show,
Cher
show.
Oh, Cher,
show.
Chairs. Okay, great.
It was
okay,
bad.
Great. I was like, that's very meta.
Yeah.
But I love it.
It was terrible.
Okay, so it's my turn
my
now?
Joke.
Yes.
I can just
okay,
picture
great.
Producer's room, though, being like, let's do a Chairs show. Wait, no, a Cher show. Give that man a promotion.
All right, great. Uh-oh, here we go. Oh, I'm so glad I just saw her on stage, and she's wonderful. Okay, so my show is called Happy Spring Equinox, Sarah Jane.
Oh!
And it's starring Anne Harada,
yeah.
Who I just saw in Emoji Land.
Sure,
as,
yes.
As the big pile of poop, and she's wonderful.
She's
so funny. Okay, so Happy Spring Equinox, Sarah Jane. All right, so... Most of the show, Sarah Jane is going to be in arguments about when the spring equinox actually is. Because it's going to be, there's a giant calendar on stage that she's constantly flipping dates over. and there's just constant confusion, and there's no way of knowing in the world of the show when it actually begins.
Right.
But I think in the course of it, there's going to be a lot. I think she's going on stage with a giant, like a lot of plants that are going to be growing. But because it's global warming, they're going to be coming out too early. So she's going to have to save them through the. So it's a very bittersweet. Like the title's very bittersweet because you don't know if it's happy or not. Yeah. And then also because her name is Sarah Jane. She's really irritated when people call her just Sarah, because it's Sarah Jane. So there's going to be a whole song called It's Sarah Jane, Damn It. And she kind of loses her mind and finds her her identity.
Yeah, yeah.
And then no one will ever call her Sarah ever again.
Sure.
And I think that Anne will definitely get a Lortel nomination.
For sure.
And she will get a special Tony Award. For calendar flipping.
I imagine, like, backstage, they have tons of Band-Aids just in case she had paper cuts.
Oh, yes, everyone laid out. Yeah. Go, already unwrapped. She can just put her hand down. Boom, boom, boom.
That's the quick change that happens.
Yes, yes.
Switching out her Band-Aids.
Totally.
All right, Kimberly.
Good show.
I have Merry Christmas, Wilhelmina. Starring Audra McDonald.
Oh, there you go.
And it's just an old-timey Christmas variety show starring Audra McDonald and some housewife named Wilhelmina. And you find out at the end that she's in, like, a psychiatric ward and has imagined all of her friends coming.
This is great!
But she's just, like, welcoming all of these people who are not there.
You said it's a musical, right?
To come and do songs. And then she sits and watches, like, the silence of her friends performing songs. And then she gets up and duets with them, but you only hear her part.
See, she should do it in rep, where, like, every other night, it's her, like, all the friends are performing, like, every other night, you're just seeing what she's seeing as, the asylum, so it's just her sitting in silence,
sitting in a padded room.
Oh, I love this.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Merry Christmas, Wilhelmina.
Or deeply bittersweet show.
You do it in a theater where it's, like, the stage is split, and there's audience on either side. So that,
like,
at
St. Anne's?
Yes. So, like, she can be performing, and so, like, one half the audience can see other people on stage with her and one half can't.
Whoa.
So you can pick when you buy a ticket if you want, like, reality or the fantasy.
Oh,
Instagram or not Instagram?
Right, exactly. I'm going to go to a musical and I choose reality.
There's got to be somebody who would.
Oh, you know that. Oh, my, in this day and age?
Yeah.
That's all people do. Everyone's a fact checker. Everyone's like, no, that's actually, you know. Little Shop of Horrors doesn't work because there's a plant that like eats people and talks. That's not real.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're just but like, they're bursting into God. Song.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I love how books get criticized more than like the concept of a musical.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, right. Sure. And it's also like, it's just so go for the ride. Enjoy the
absolutely.
Dance.
Yes.
Yeah. My other show, when I did Bright Colors and Bold Patterns, sure. I played one character talking to multiple people. And there were occasionally people who thought the reveal was going to be that I was crazy and I was just talking to no one. Like Clint Eastwood talking to chairs. And, you know, and I'm like, that would be really dark. But yeah. And it was actually my fear when I first did it because I was like, I didn't know if the audience was going to take away. Like, I was actually really talking to people and not just a crazy person. In an empty house, like they're at the end, the cops come and they're like, he's broken in and he's having a psychotic break.
You know, it's like,
that's so
that
insane. Like, you know, no. But yeah.
Wow. Well, that was fun. What was that called again?
Happy Holidays, you.
Great.
I love it.
Lucky Land Casino asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Well, let's go back to writing a little bit.
Sure.
You write for AJ and the Queen.
Yes, I did.
I just finished the last episode today.
Tell us a little about that writing process in terms of, I'm assuming you write more as a group, or are you individually writing episodes?
One episode said your name at the beginning. Yes. And I was like, I'm going to meet him soon.
Oh my God, I'm going to meet him. Yeah, totally.
How do you pronounce that?
Truly, I said it wrong in my head.
Hey, it's fine. It's fine. It's a little bit of both because we do have we had a writer's room. It was a very small group of people. And I was brought on as a consultant. And so I had done that the year before on Big Mouth, the cartoon, you know.
Yeah.
And so that was a blast. It was so much fun to get to do that. And so it was so funny. Yeah. I mean, there were days we would just be crying laughing as it was just like, and that was a much bigger room, but we would just sit there and they'd be like, all right, so. Just like how many different like ways can you just say like, you know, menstruation and like come up with a mini or like puberty or whatever the thing is. Mm-hmm. And we would just sit there and just come up with everything that we could come up with in the room and just cry that. And we would just land on one, you know, joke that way. And then on AJ and the Queen was a little bit, it was a smaller room, but we really like, what was exciting was that, I got to like help create the world like with everyone because like, we were just really building it as we go. And Michael Patrick King, executive producer, and he was like that, you know, he and RuPaul were the main like brains behind it.
Mm-hmm.
But still, there were so many questions that, you know, we would kind of go, wait, is it this? And then he would go, I don't know, maybe it is, let's try. And so it was really collaborative in that way. And then as we were going along the process, like when we started shooting, they were having to find times that we could meet in between because it was such a small group that everybody was like on set shooting one episode and having to write the next one in between, you know, in between takes and stuff. So they came and offered me an episode. So it was the first time I had ever done that with like my own. So that was, you know, one where we all as a group sort of broke it and sort of like what that means is like you kind of go through like we have to get all these story points across. Mm-hmm. Here are the characters we want to do. Here's what we need to, you know, all that. And then I went away and I wrote like an outline and then like an 8-page outline of the whole thing. And then I brought that in and presented that to the room. And then I got notes on that and built on that. And then you get your final like go. And then it was so fast. I had about a week to write the episode turn in the first draft before, you know. And then you turn it into like the art department and casting and all these people. And like, it's one of those things like I'm used to writing theater when it's just me or when it's like a much smaller group. And I kind of think small in terms of like, what can I carry in a backpack? What can I do?
Yeah.
You know, and then when you're doing on TV, you know, you're everything, every choice you make becomes like a whole department's focus to find that or to make that.
Sure.
You know, and sometimes you write a character and you go, I had like a homeless couple in my episode. Mine was Jackson, Mississippi. And I remember
with the puppy. That was your episode, right?
Yes, that was mine. Yeah. And so we had a homeless couple in there and I was just like, it was very tricky on how to write homeless people in a comedy. It was like honestly one of the hardest things for all of us to kind of go, we don't want to be too flip and too like want like a hobo is not fun. It's not like you can do like Lucille Ball with you know hobo makeup nowadays. Nor did you want to do something so sad and condescending and you know, it was hard. So I was like sort of like, what about a young couple that just made a couple bad decisions and they were a few more bad decisions away from being really bad.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a possibility that this girl could make a phone call to her dad and be fine.
Sure.
And like, you know, and I'm like, so we're like, how do you describe that? You know, in a thing. So we were like, what if she looks like sort of like Rooney Mara in Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
Like a slash like Hot Topic manager.
Mm-hmm.
And of her husband.
Yeah,
and
that I'm was like, the vibe.
And I'm like, and then her boyfriend sort of is like, what if he looks like, you know, Jamiroquai? You know, and he has a ukulele.
Mm.
So they look a little bit like hipster Burning Man. Like, you don't feel too sorry for them.
Yeah.
Like, he has a little small guitar. You're going to be like, okay. Yeah. And so then you write that and just, you know, and then casting goes out. And they're like looking for a Rooney Mara type and a Jamiroquai type. And you see that in the breakdowns and your name, you're like, oh, right. I just thought of that and now it's actually happening.
Yeah,
It's so crazy. It's so cool. And I know that for most people, they just know that when they're writing it. But I was sort of
thinking.
Then
Rooney Mara was like, I'll do it.
She did it. She auditioned and we went another way. But it's like so funny when you just
she got typed
like,
out.
Yeah, exactly. But you just come up with these things that you don't really think that a whole department is going to be scrambling to find that exact thing that you thought of. There was a whole meeting about her hair. Like, because I said she had blue hair in the thing. And it was like all the, the hair department was like, we have all these different dyes and should we do this process? And, so it was really kind of awesome to get to like whatever was in your mind to just sort of put it out there.
And then I have the power.
I know. It was really funny. Amen. Yeah, totally. It was totally fun to just kind of go. And then when I was on set, I was basically like just kind of there with the director, Anne Fletcher directed mine, and was just awesome getting to work with her because I've just been a fan of hers forever. And so I was mainly just kind of there as a resource, like if a line wasn't working or if we needed to change something for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And so you kind of wait around for, you just some days you don't really do much, and then other days you're like, oh wow, we really need to rewrite this because we have things aren't working, or because of what we had to do in the last episode, or they also took like a whole plot, a little subplot of my episode, and made a whole other episode out of it, which the hospital scene that was originally just a thing, quick thing, and then they decided like, oh, we're gonna make a whole episode out of this. So it's really crazy I feel like if you worked on season 6 of a show, it's not nearly that creative, obviously, or even season 2 of a show, because you've already established kind of what the show is.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was really fun to get to just kind of go, we'll try this. And also it was the first time you've ever, you'll ever see a sitcom that's like about the lives of drag queens, like outside of the club, or backstage, or also not in New York or in LA, in small towns or in medium-sized cities. What's it like to be an LGBTQ person in those spaces? And so that was also really exciting too, because we knew that like that's not often even considered.
Yeah.
So many queer people, it's like they leave wherever they're from and they go to the city.
Yeah.
But it's like there are many people who stay there and have lives there. And and now with drag being such a phenomenon, like a lot of drag queens like stay where they are. And, in a lot of ways do better than they would if they had tried to move here or to LA or something.
Sure.
Yeah. There were parts of the show where, they were all resentful. New York was coming to town. And it was interesting to see, the, big fish, small pond moment.
Right. Exactly.
And then just, this guy who now feels very small from New York, pretending to be real, real big fish.
Oh, that's totally so cool.
It's interesting.
Well, are there drag queens in
Tuesdays in the corner with Kevin?
It's Kevin's Corner.
Welcome to Kevin's Corner. There's definitely.
So I mildly panicked a little bit.
A series of questions for you.
Oh, great.
Today's Kevin's Corner, I Googled funny questions to ask.
Oh, great. Oh, you literally just Googled that?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
And I came up with quite an impressive list.
Funny questions to ask blank?
Anything. Yeah, I didn't say anything. I just said funny questions to ask.
Oh, my
and
God.
A website came up with
this. Please use these on all of your first dates.
Yeah, and a website came up and said list of funny questions to ask. I was
boy.
Perfect.
Oh, my God.
So I'm just going to go through and randomly pick some of these, and we'll just hear what you have to say.
Okay, great.
Okay, question one. What's the weirdest smell you have ever smelled?
Oh, God, the weirdest smell? I don't know. That's such a good question. I mean, I feel like I need some context. Can somebody, what have you, what's weird that you guys have smelled? I bet I'll think of something if I...
I don't know.
See, weird doesn't have to be bad.
My brain definitely went to something in the city, when you're walking through the park or something, or at movie theaters. Movie theaters always have really weird smells.
Right.
You mean beautiful smells of popcorn?
Popcorn.
I think children smell weird.
Yes. They do smell very strange.
There's always fish markets. Mm-hmm. Yes, they smell fish. But there's always one smell that just doesn't fit with the other fish smells.
Oh, yeah.
Does that make sense?
I worked at a seafood department in at a grocery store in North Carolina when I was going through college. And we were really very conscious about how it smelled. And we had to spray down this sanitizer. I'd probably die 20 years early because I would spray down this stuff. I remember it was called Q-San. And you would just spray everything in it. And it would just dry. It would just kill everything around. And, so that it wouldn't smell like fish. But it was a very, acrid, chemical, smell.
So maybe that's your weirdest smell.
So maybe so. I mean, I feel like my first thought is I remember what the library smelled like when I was a child, and we moved away. We moved away. The town I lived in, I lived there when I was like 2 and 3 years old, and we moved away, and we moved to a bunch of different places, and when I was 11, we moved back to that town, mm-hmm. and I went in that library, and I remembered the smell.
Wow. That's cool. Because,
you know, it's like, it's so...
Yeah, sense memory.
Is it smell like what the you strongest. Meant, the strongest, like, memory?
Yes. Yeah. It'll definitely attach to that, yeah. for sure. Yeah.
Cool. That's a good answer. Yeah. Good answer. Good answer.
What part of a kid's movie completely scarred you for life?
Oh, I hate kids' movies. Even as a child, I never liked them. I only wanted to see adult movies.
Yeah.
I did. I always loved the villains. I mean, yeah. You know what I mean? No, but I mean, like, I always remember the villains. I guess as a child, I mean, the Clash of the Titans, the 1980 version, the Harry Hamlin version, Medusa was always so awesome to me. I mean, my brother was, like, terrified of it, and I was like, yes, more of this, please. Because I loved villains, I loved Freddy Krueger, I loved, I mean, over my bed in high school, I had Freddy Krueger and Frankenfurter. Because I'm like, that's who I mean, I'm trying to think. I mean, I guess like Bambi really disturbed me as a child.
Oh, God, yes.
You know, the opening of that.
Yeah.
But I never really trusted kids' movies. I was like, this isn't how it is. Like, I wanted...
You're lying
like,
to me.
I was so, like... I had such a lovely, boring childhood that I only wanted, like, disappointment and, you know, and
horror.
You know, horror, like, in my entertainment.
That's amazing. This is a random question. How many chickens would it take to kill an elephant?
What?
I think just one.
Because
they can elephants get really scared, right? Like an elephant like sees a chicken and it could like scare it, and I think the elephant could freak out and you know, I don't know, fall off a cliff. Where do elephants live?
Yeah, they could do that. There's cliffs.
Sure.
Sure.
There are cliffs.
Fine.
In the desert?
In the savannah? Yeah, they have cliffs.
Probably Savannah, rock. Georgia?
Yeah.
It's not
the zoo.
Sure.
What would be the absolute worst name you could give your child?
Apple. I'm sorry, it's the worst name.
How old is that child now?
I don't know, but maybe 10 now?
Maybe older.
Maybe older. I don't know, I'm terrible with that. I have friends that I'm like, how is your baby? And like, they're in college. Because I don't know, but I can't think of a worse name than Apple. It's so I get so mad at her for naming her child that.
15 years old, okay. But if you type in Apple Martin, Apple Martini comes up immediately.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Of course it does. No one talks about that either. It's that poor child's name is one letter away from Apple Martini.
Yes.
The most basic trash drink from 2003.
When she was
poor
born.
Child. Exactly. Yes. Yeah, exactly. Oh my lord, I just get so mad at that. I mean, when people talk about like Awkwafina, that's a name, I'm like, it's great. She's
a
rapper.
She also made it up herself.
She made it up herself. She made a choice and she's awesome and she's great. But no, there's nothing worse than Apple.
No.
No. Mm-mm. Not so random of a question, I guess.
Oh yeah. No, you like how immediately I know that? I'm like, yeah, it smells. Just... I'm like, I don't know. Apple.
What else you got, Kevin?
Okay. What is the creepiest thing you could say while passing a stranger on the street?
Oh, just by passing, like going to their, whispering in their ear, like saying something?
Yeah.
I know. Or, and yeah,
That's a really good
That's
one.
That's a good one.
That's a good one. And then the last one I'll do will be on this page. I'm just going to pick a random one. Oh, Jesus, that's weird.
Have you read these?
No, duh.
There's so many questions.
I know, it's crazy.
It's also such a weird thing, too, because it's like, usually questions aren't funny. Like, answers are funny. So I love
correct.
That, like, these are like, funny questions. Like,
well, totally.
I mean, depending on who you ask.
Yeah, these could be very straightforward.
If you were transported 400 years into the past with no clothes or anything else...
What?
How would you prove that you're from the future?
Oh, okay. Now I get the question. I'm like, why would I go back to, you know.
So like 400 is a random number. Just like, how do you prove
so
that
like
you're a time
so that would be like Shakespearean.
Past.
That would be like Hamlet.
Just past.
Yes, you'd be
just
going
past.
Back
yeah.
to like,
right.
the, yeah, like the 1700s. No,
1600s. 16, yes. Like, okay. Yeah. Like Hamlet was like 1600, right? I don't know why.
1610, 1600.
Okay, so
yeah.
you're right
yeah.
around like, okay, so yeah. that time. Well, you would just talk, and they would, you know, they would know that you're from, you know, or you also could predict.
Think you're a witch.
Maybe so. Oh, they would immediately kill me, right? For sure. But you know, yeah. I mean, I feel like you could. Yeah, they would think you're a witch no matter what. But I think you could just talk, and then like the way you would speak would not be like an Elizabethan English,
so
and they would
prove it through like your syntax.
I think so. Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I'm going to do one more just because I've realized there's another page, so I should pick one from each page.
It'd be interesting, like, with somebody now, like, if somebody came now from 400 years in the future, how they would prove it.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd be at 1620, if anyone cared.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
How did you figure that out?
Did you just do
how did you possibly
figure,
figure that out?
20 to 1620?
You're on your
You're
computer.
A witch. How did you know that?
Did you Google that? 2020 minus 400 is 1620. Did you need your computer to tell
no,
you
No, I wanted to see what was in 1620.
Okay.
Yeah. So I typed in the year 1620.
I was like, that was really basic.
Oh, no, no, no.
I was like, I know you've been dropping the ball, but like that's just like dropping the court.
I literally Googled the
Thank
year
you,
1620.
Jalapeno.
Got it.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Okay, no.
Right.
I was like, Brian, do we need to have a talk?
Okay, here's the last question.
Is it?
Yeah.
Kevin has never read before.
Kevin doesn't read the questions he writes.
Right.
He's not going to read the ones
true.
He copies.
Yes,
there's really good
ones,
so I'm trying to decide what I would go, which to go with for you. Okay, here we go. What would be the hat to end all hats? What could you wear on your head that would make people stop what they're doing and stare in awe and amazement?
Well, any hat looks weird on my head, and people would stop and stare at me with a hat, because I have such a big head and have so much hair. That, like, wearing a hat, I always think, I'll wear a hat and something, and I never can look.
You never pull it off?
I can't pull it off. So they would. But I think, like, if you had, like, a, you know, they always talk about in comedy, like, don't over pepper the sauce or whatever, like, and they call it, like, putting a hat on a hat, you know. And so I think a hat on top of a hat would be really fun. Like, a tiny little top hat on top of, like, a fedora. to show that you're, you know, you're classy.
Yeah.
And you also can ride a horse.
Yeah.
You
know? Which one is
fedora? Well,
yeah,
which one's which?
A fedora is like, right? Is that
is that classy?
No. I mean, I think that's a fedora. I guess a Stetson is what I'm thinking.
Yeah,
of.
Okay. Yeah.
Because fedora,
yeah.
I was like
more
like
Freddy
Krueger.
Okay, yes. And Freddie wore
it. I like that both of us were like, which is the horse one? Do you wear a top hat when you ride a horse?
Yeah, some people do.
You can.
Definitely.
Very
oh, you absolutely
can.
Could.
Yeah.
You know,
but you
yes.
should wear a helmet.
Yes.
Staying safe with Kimberly.
Staying safe.
I had a cool velvet helmet when I
and,
rode horses in high school.
This has been Kevin's
Thank
Corner.
You.
Yay! Before we play our last game, do you have a favorite musical?
I do. It's Sunday in the Park with George.
Okay. Why? What does it do for you?
Mine too.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, my God. It's my favorite
one.
No one
ever said that, so I wasn't paying attention.
Oh, my God. Yeah, no. It's, I saw it, I saw it on the PBS special, Mandy Patinkin and Bernadette Peters, when I was in high school, and, like, was a blubbering mess when I realized that I'm George. And I realized that, like, oh, my God, that is a lot of people. Most people are Dot and, or, you know. And you're just constantly going to be lonely as an artist. Like, it just hit me on such a visceral level.
Mm-hmm.
I think the music's beautiful. I think it's really funny. I think it's so smart. Even the second act, when people claim doesn't really work, I think it absolutely does. I just think it's, I mean, it's, I'm so not a sentimental person until it really, something really gets to me. So, like, I feel like it's a very, like, it's a just a blistering, beautiful show. And I do, and I love Into the Woods as well. I mean, same people, you know. I think those are two actually perfect musicals, and I will see them anytime, any way I can.
Do you have a favorite play?
I don't know. Like offhand, I don't know if I have a
Happy
favorite
birthday,
play.
Happy birthday, Doug!
Oh, certainly my own. Wouldn't that be so weird?
Or do you have a play that has impacted you greatly? Or a playwright?
A lot have. I mean, obviously, Angels in America. I know this feels so basic to say that, but I saw that in college, and it really, I had never seen anything like that before. And then just seeing the revival a few years ago, I was still like for 8 hours just gobsmacked, and I was like, this is such a good play, and the characters, and it's just like the best, smartest soap opera, and it's so painful, but it's also really funny. All of the characters I relate to, But also, I mean, in recent years, I really did love August Osage County. Mm-hmm. You know, I do love really American, character-driven, everyone's, you know, screaming at dinner kind of plays. Mm-hmm. I love that so much. So, yeah.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Where did you grow up again?
In North Carolina, outside of Charlotte.
Do you remember the first show you saw?
I know the first show I ever did, when I was three, I was in the Nutcracker.
Oh, nice.
With my parents. We were all three in it.
Oh, wonderful.
And then there was a girl playing my sister. It was very confusing to me. So it was like, she wasn't really my sister, but she was in the play. She was really mean and she always slapped my hands. We were supposed to like do some dance together and she would smack my hands. My first memory as a human being is having to run out on stage and play with a knot of wood, and it was a wood stage, and I was holding my family up from like getting to the party, the Victorian party, you know, whatever you were, and my dad picked me up and shook me in the air. Like, I remember getting picked up and being shaken in the air, my dad pretending to be really mad at me, and I remember laughing so hard, like I was not a committed actor. I was not
a ballerina.
I just wasn't even, you know, there. And I was just laughing at my dad because I could tell he was acting and it was just made me laugh. But then I'm trying to think of like the first play that I saw. The first thing I saw on Broadway was Phantom of the Opera.
Okay.
Because that's, you know, what you do.
Of course,
with your family. So we saw Phantom and Miss Saigon a day apart in
1991. What a weekend.
Yes, 1991. And Belle Biv DeVoe stayed at our hotel. Oh, I remember that about our trip. You remember Belle Biv DeVoe?
No.
I don't know.
Oh, my God. BBD. You know. Oh, my God, yes. They, Poison. They sang Poison. That girl is poison.
Yes.
I thought you were around my age. It's the thing about getting older. You just think everyone's the same age. And I realize you're much younger than me. If you don't know Belle Biv DeVoe. Anyway.
I know the song.
You know the song. Yeah, yes. Of course.
From 80s night parties.
Oh, sure.
I wasn't going to say that.
80s night. But yeah, I don't remember the first thing I ever saw. Like, you know.
Yeah.
I was in second grade, and I remember our school went and saw a very experimental production of Peter Rabbit, where it was like a lot of people. It was a lot of people in black. It was like stagehands were in black, and they would move the fence. Oh, like you would obviously see them, and I was so mad at it. I was like, this is awful, and I remember being very upset. I was like, I was not into conceptual theater at that age. I wanted very literal. I would have been like, I would have sat on the side of the realistic people.
Sure. Yeah.
Not reality.
Not real.
Merry Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
What's her name?
Wilhelmina. That was Jay's name that he gave me when I was asking for names at home.
Should we play another game?
Yes. I have a second round of Happy Holidays, you.
Okay.
That is competitive.
Oh.
And so what will happen is if you would like to go first, you can say you want to go first. I don't care.
Brian will go first.
Sure. Brian will go first. Pick everything.
I'm assuming it's harder to win if you go first.
Yeah.
Yes. So pick everything.
Okay.
And then we are all going to try and one up your show by choosing one thing to change. And that can be the holiday, the name, or the person.
Okay.
Okay.
And then we will all do variants on the same and then to say whose is best.
Sure.
Yeah. Kevin will win.
Well, I obviously have. Yeah, I know.
Because I'll just make something up.
Because I'll just say I win.
I win.
Yeah. I have Happy Flag Day, Harriet.
Okay.
Starring Gwen Verdon.
Oh, good.
Perfect name for a Gwen Verdon character.
Absolutely.
Harriet.
Yeah. So Happy Flag Day, Harriet is a woman who.
A flag?
Wait, what?
I'm out. Listen, I'm going outside the box here.
Right.
Gwen Verdon plays a woman who is a dancer. Again, outside the box.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Flag Day.
Okay.
And she is...
This is the best pitch I've ever heard.
Yeah. And she gets trapped by a serial killer on Flag Day.
Okay.
And the only way for her to escape... is for her to do an interpretive dance to all of the flags that the serial killer presents to her.
Oh.
He's called the Flag Day Killer.
Oh no!
He only kills on Flag Day.
He only kills on Flag Day.
So it's going to be a really disappointing day for him if he doesn't get a kill.
Yeah, absolutely.
Only if you can't do interpretive dances to the flags.
Yeah, well,
is there music?
There is music.
Are there lyrics and songs, or is it just dancing?
It's just dancing.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's like Contact.
Yeah.
Oh, great! I love it. The woman in the yellow dress.
Yes. Think the pitch is think Silence of the Lambs.
Uh huh.
Contact. And Flag Day.
And Gwen Verdon.
And Gwen Verdon.
Yeah, you left out a kind of a big piece there.
Yeah, so a flag is presented.
Oh, yeah.
However, the thing about this is,
uh-huh,
every night of the show, uh-huh, the flags are different and she's making up the dances.
Ah.
So it's an improv dance.
Yes, it's an improv, but the concept is that she
dance
has
musical
been,
starring Gwen Verdon.
So we're making Gwen Verdon improvise?
Yeah.
Every night.
Yeah.
And there are 5 to 6 flags every night.
Okay.
It's five to six.
It's a quick
now,
show.
What inspires the sixth flag?
Oh, because there may not be six.
There may not be six.
Five to six?
There are 5 to 6.
It depends on how long all of our other dances
Let's be honest. We haven't previewed it yet. So
you're right. The sixth one is
until it's frozen. Not frozen, but until
right,
it's no longer
sure
adding things to the show. Then the show turns into Frozen. And they just do, no.
That was going to be my change that would make me win.
Yeah.
Let's just change it to
so
Frozen.
So that's what it is. It's Happy Flag Day, Harriet. Happy Flag Day, Harriet? So,
question mark.
Yeah.
Yep.
Is it a happy flag day or is it a murder film?
Does the audience decide her fate?
Yes, the audience votes.
And they all get flags that they go yay,
yes,
yay?
Uh-huh. They get like gladiator.
Oh, right. Oh, right.
No, well, we're on the same wavelength.
Sure, sure.
Yeah,
we get
like
it.
Gladiatorial.
I'll see you on Broadway.
Thumbs up, thumbs down, except for like flags
like
up, flags down.
Uh-huh.
Or like
and
white flag, red flag.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. And then in the lobby, you can obviously buy flags from around the world. You can buy flags for the specific show.
Sure.
You know,
instead of a poster, they have a flag.
Yeah, uh-huh, absolutely. Like a banner, like or you know, a pennant. You know, like you would get
sure
for our baseball
great
team.
Okay, so each of us gets to say one thing that we would change.
Yeah, and then you can pick to change, like, the name, the person, or the holiday.
Okay.
I don't know why you would want to change anything about Happy Flag Day,
so,
Harriet.
Right.
Because them's the rules.
So I'll go first. I'm going to keep the exact same plot. Everything is the same. But we're taking out Flag Day.
Okay, that's what I was going to change.
And making it... That's a girl's name.
Making it Janet.
Happy Janet, Harriet.
It's Happy Boxing Day.
Oh,
and there's
okay
literally no explanation to why he wants to do the flags on Boxing
He's just
Day.
Canadian.
It's just 6 Canadian flags, maybe 5. But
I love it.
Different Canadian flags.
From like the different, you know,
provinces.
Provinces, yeah,
yeah,
for sure.
Yes,
great.
Sure.
Provincial flags.
Mm-hmm.
Flag.
Okay, I will. So I can take anything out of it. I mean, I replace something.
Yes.
So right now we're Boxing Day Harriet starring Gwen Verdon.
Okay, I'm going to replace Gwen Verdon with someone who's alive.
Okay, sure.
Because I think it's going to be difficult. I mean, and even in a fantasy world, mm-hmm, I would replace.
Michelle Williams is welcome to fill in.
Oh, sure. She is truly amazing. So do I have to pick someone from here or
yeah,
not
yep
from my head, right? Okay. So I'm just going to grab out of the pile and I'm going to grab. Oh, Christine Ebersole.
Great.
Oh,
which is
yes
perfect, because then it will feel a lot like Grey Gardens.
Yes.
Where she has the
sure
flag, and it is very much in that
oh
sort of aspect.
Oh, good
as
job.
Well. So it'll be a follow-up. It'll be a follow-up piece for her, but it's less tragic, because she doesn't, like, you know, end up in the house forever. She gets to, like,
mm-hmm,
you know...
almost get murdered.
Yeah, she almost gets murdered. And Christine Ebersole will play this to the hilt. She will literally emotionally go there every night, as
yeah
we know.
I love
absolutely
it.
Absolutely.
Great. So I'm going to change the name from Harriet.
Yep.
To Todd, the name of our murderer.
Oh.
It is Happy Boxing Day,
well
Todd.
Played.
And then it is Christine Ebersole
dancing
to flags. And then at the end, she's like, Happy Boxing Day, Todd, because he has had the calendar wrong the whole time. And
say,
she flips
oh
a big calendar.
Oh, another
you
calendar
know
musical. See, there
yes
is a competition for that.
Do you know how many
there
old
is
people in the audience are going to leave so angry that Christine Ebersole did not sing a single note in the show?
Oh, my God. She's just dancing her tits apart.
Yeah.
I like it.
I'm okay with it.
I would see this in 3 acts where each act is the different version of it.
Yeah.
Oh, like Clue.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, bum, 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 like it might have happened
like
this.
I was
going
to try to make it. It's a Gwen version.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
Verdon version.
Oh,
Gwen
that
version
was cute.
A different Verdon?
Yeah, that didn't work.
That didn't work. Yeah, yeah,
no
yeah. Good effort.
Yeah.
That was fun.
That's all.
Yeah,
oh, that was great.
Happy holidays.
So I'm happy holidays. Right?
You? Yeah, Kevin.
Yeah,
you won.
Kevin.
Yeah,
wins.
I won.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Definitely. That Boxing Day switch really, yeah, really did it.
Just killed it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, before we leave, one last question for you. Mm-hmm. What is your favorite color?
Blue.
Why?
I don't know. I just have always related to it. I don't know. I've always really liked it.
Lighter, darker? Does it
lighter,
matter?
Like sky blue. Mm-hmm. Kind of what I enjoy. Yeah. I mean, I feel like I look good in blue. Like, it's one of those colors that I like, you know, I just sort of
wear a
respond
lot
to it. Like Tiffany blue.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's a nice, that's like a...
Well, you have blue eyes.
Yeah, I have blue eyes. Mm-hmm. So do you?
Yes, I do.
And you've got glasses that
have Tiffany blue in them.
Yes. Very good. See?
Gotta wear blue when you have blue eyes.
Gotta do it.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun.
We had a great time, too.
Likewise. And thanks for the liquor. That's always a nice additive.
Yeah, anytime.
Don't forget, go see Happy Birthday Doug at the Soho Playhouse through March 1st. You can go to SohoPlayhouse.com to get tickets.
Yes.
So definitely go and check it out. Any last words about the show that you kind of we didn't get to talk through today?
There's a bar downstairs, so if you enjoy the show and you enjoy drinking while you know, you can absolutely drink during the show, before, after, during.
That's how we go to shows.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's an hour long, so that's another thing. Like if you're looking for, you know, because the evening shows are at 9, but you'll be out of there perfect. By at 10.
Well, that's great.
So, yeah, it's quick. And
when
and then
trains
I usually,
go local, you're out of there.
And exactly. Done.
Oh my god, you could catch like a performance of Come From Away at 7, get out at 8:30.
You really could.
And then
you
take
actually
the train
could.
Down to your
totally.
Show. And what an evening of theater that
I
would
mean,
be.
I mean, you can really go from a wildly different tone.
Yeah, but so many people playing multiple parts.
That's
the
true.
Whole
oh
that
my god,
is
that's
true.
True.
And there's
really
two
have a,
gay
you know,
guys.
They
yes.
So two
yes.
gay guys to
those
nine
gay
guys.
I know. I remember. I saw that tour of that, and those the gay.
Oh really?
The gay couple in that were they were are they supposed to be infuriating? I don't think they are. Anyway.
but think,
again,
no,
like
I think
well,
they can
break
be.
Up. So
they were very. They were just very cloying to me. I was like, oh, these. Oh, but yeah, no spoilers. But it's a. You
are
know.
There any of those guys? In
oh,
your
absolutely.
Show?
There's a gay couple in my show that's even
the
more
worst.
Infuriating.
Yeah.
They're kind of the worst. You know,
I bet nobody ever asks, oh my God, is that me?
Oh, the weirdest thing is the very first character who might be the biggest nightmare in the whole show is the very first character I play. And so many people ask me like, is that me? Oh God. And I was like, I would hope not, but you know, maybe if you really think it, I might
yeah.
be.
Yeah,
so,
well,
you
if
know.
You don't think you're any of the other characters, maybe.
Maybe.
You, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, maybe it's worse if you think none of them are
yeah.
you. Yeah. Maybe they, you know.
That's true.
But again, you can go to SohoPlayhouse.com to get tickets. Mm-hmm. Again, you
or
can,
HappyBirthdayDoug.com.
HappyBirthdayDoug.com
yeah.
is another place
either,
where you
yeah.
can go.
Mm-hmm.
You can follow him on social media at Drew Drogi.
That's it.
Yep.
Yay.
Got it.
And you can follow us at Broadwasted.
Hey, that's
true.
Us.
You can find us at the Broadway Podcast Network.
Oh, that's us. That's there too.
You can follow us.
I got stuck. Oh, that's us. That's us there. They're there too.
You can find us anywhere
more
you
whiskey
get.
For you,
I know. Right?
Anywhere you get podcasts, so Spotify, Stitcher,
anywhere.
And then of course iTunes. Rate and review us there.
Five stars, please.
And thank you.
But we end every episode with a quote.
We do? Is that a new thing?
it bothers me every time
I
know it's
coming. I don't
know
why that bothers you. You know I'm going to say it.
Yeah, and Kevin's the one that doesn't actually forget.
I know.
I do always forget.
I know.
End with a quote.
Give them the old hocus pocus,
aww.
Beat and feather them. How can they see with
sequins
in their eyes? What if your hinges are all rusting? What if you're, in fact, you're
just
disgusting?
Disgusting.
Razzle dazzle them, and they'll never catch Wise.
Oh, Jerry Orbach.
Yeah.
Oh.
And other people.
I
and
others.
Those were the words.
Mm-hmm.
The hinges
yeah.
thing.
Hmm.
Yeah.
News to me.
Do you think Fosse did hinges there?
Like he made him
long.
Sort of
yeah.
dance
yeah.
hinges.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know how you dance hinges. I'm sure.
You hinge at the hip.
Yeah.
Do you
yeah. Oh, one
elbow?
Last question. You've done a lot of. TV and guest spots.
Quote. What
gotcha.
Are you doing?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Is there one memorable one that you love?
I'm sorry, what, TV?
A TV
shows?
Guest spot or whatever. Is there one that pops out? You've been on so many.
Yeah, they're all. Yeah, they're all wonderful. Each time I get to walk
each
into
a child.
Set. I mean, they've been great. I guess the The first one I did was really, really cool because I was on Reno 911. Mm. And that was like such a show that I loved, you know, watching.
Yeah.
And I think it was my first big, like, part on a TV show and, like, a real part, you know. And I just, that was so special to me to get to be part of that and, like, walk around and, you know, and see those and just be among the world of those people. So, yeah. And then, you know, the more you do, the more you're like, oh, it's like going to, I'm happy to have a job and going to work, you know. And that, and then I guess last year when I got to do Heather's, which was just a dream come true because it was a beautiful, wonderful, very misunderstood and horribly dumped show because of what happened in the world. But it was really, it was a dream job. It was the biggest part I've ever had on TV. I got to be in every episode. And, and I played the drama teacher and they kind of wrote it for me. And it was just, that was a the dream come true. Yeah. You know, so
cool.
Hopefully another one of those soon, you know.
Yeah, we'll check him out at Happy Birthday Doug. And as we end every episode, thank you so much for joining us,
Thank you so much for having me.
We raise our glasses.
Cheers.
Zoot-doo-wop-bump. Cheers. Thank you. Thank you.
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.